Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Bible reading for today comes from the first reading, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Karen and I are very happy to be with you this morning. It's always good to be with familiar places and familiar people. We also, as Pastor mentioned, we come back every 3 or 4 years from Nigeria for a few months to report on the ministry and how life is going in that part of the world, and also to encourage support to enable us to go back and continue. We graciously appreciate your prayers, concern, and support to see that that happens. As Pastor also mentioned, this is All Saints Day, and we remember those who have gone before us, the faithful departed in Christ, who are the large crowd in heaven. We certainly pray that God will comfort those who are mourning, even as we rejoice in the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Revelation chapter 7 presents a remarkable picture. But it is even more remarkable when you consider the situation at the time. People from every tribe and nation and language and tongue coming together. You know, in much of the world, people didn't see other people as being equal to them. They viewed strangers as being a little bit different, and we're not sure that we like them. In the Old Testament time, of course, there were Jews, and then there were the Gentiles, who always looked a little bit dirty. The Greeks called... They had their own, they viewed themselves as people, but other people, they called them barbarians. Looks like they're that's all they can say, barbarians. They live in a strange place, and not quite the same. The Romans people talked about the world, but when they talked about the world, they meant the area they controlled. People outside of Roman control, well, we're not quite sure about those guys. And so for people to come together was a remarkable idea at that time. It was also remarkable that they could all say together, "Salvation belongs to our God." Most people in the world at that time, and many people in the world even now, don't believe in our God. Or when they talk about our God, they mean our God, like the God of our community or the God of our land, of our own land. They wouldn't have the idea that all of the world can have one God. But yet, the revelation of John shows us that when people come together to worship the one true God, they can indeed welcome people from other lands and nations, and all of us can sing together, "Salvation belongs to our God." So who made this possible? Well, of course, the Gospel of Matthew records how this happened. In Alema we say, "In sine mentito, de Matthew sen." That is the good news, that the way that Matthew wrote about it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, we hear, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." A remarkable idea at the time, too. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, where we live in Nigeria, we often teach this passage and say, okay, there are people, one of the versions said, "Blessed are those who know they are poor in spirit." We say, okay, so this shows there must be two type of people. People who know they are poor in spirit, and who are the others? And people say, well, those are the ones who are spiritually strong or spiritually powerful. Say, no, let's look at this again. Blessed are those who know they are poor in spirit. What is the opposite? Well, the ones who are really strong and powerful. They can know how to get in touch with spirits and know how to control things and know how to get along in this life. And we say, no, that isn't what we're talking about. Blessed are those who know they are poor in spirit. After all, everybody is poor in spirit. This morning we also confessed our sins, that each and every day we sin in thought, word, and deed. And we can't take force and tell God, "You must forgive us." Instead, we beg God to forgive us. God is calling people from every nation and language and tongue to come and join Him, because we are all poor in spirit and we all need God's forgiveness. At the same time, they say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The Jewish people thought, yes, the kingdom belongs to us. We are God's children, so we are the ones who will be in God's kingdom. And Jesus corrects them and says, no, it's people who know they are poor in spirit from every land. Those are the ones who will be in God's kingdom. Those who know that Jesus Christ suffered and died for them and also rose from the dead, so that all who follow him will also rise from the dead. Romans chapter 3, we hear all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and yet they are justified by his grace, by faith alone, as a gift through the redemption that has been won through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, knowing this, we can live in secure comfort, knowing we are children of God. Knowing this too, we also want others to hear God's word so they too have an opportunity to join that large heavenly crowd. Where that happens in one place is where Karen and I are living in Nigeria in the west side of Africa, sort of in the southern part of the country. And of course, the first thing we did when we went there was just try to spend time with people, to learn the language, to learn how people think. Of course, you're living in a context, so you want to be able to communicate to them in a way that makes sense. Nigeria these days has 36 different states, spreading from the Sahara Desert in the north to the Atlantic Ocean in the south. And of course, some people still live in sort of traditional houses with grass roofs and mud walls, but then there are also big cement buildings in Nigeria too. And then we also have a picture of one of our church buildings there. Of course, it's under construction. There you can see the walls, and there has a roof, not quite a floor yet, and not quite doors and windows, at least is a step in the right direction. And of course, in Nigeria, there are plenty of children. The average age that people live to is about 48 years old, and there is a high birth rate. So there are plenty of children running around. And of course, these days, fathers help with their children a bit, but I suspect it's almost all over the world. It's the mother who does most of the work. You can see the mother carrying the child there during the church service. And of course, children are always busy. There's a lot of things to do. You don't really have, people live in small houses and aren't able to store things well, and so you need somebody to go and fetch water, to go and fetch firewood, to run to the market to buy something every day, and so kids are busy. Potluck suppers haven't caught on very well, so if we're going to have something after the service, typically the ladies group gets together and cooks a big pot of rice or something else. And of course, one of the staple foods in Nigeria is cassava, and so they prepare it, and one of the last steps is to roast it. So here is one of our mothers busy roasting for the family and for others. This is a picture of a truck that says on the back, no king but God. We don't really have atheists in Africa. People can understand that, well, I'm in this world and the world was created, but human beings can't create a world, so the world must have come from someplace. So people believe in that at least we wouldn't have something like an atheist. And of course, we have sort of modern society, but we also have traditional society there. And traditional society, there are some very good things about traditional society. In Nigeria, we respect our elders. It means a lot. There are plenty of parables that say that. One of them is when a child falls, you know, if you see a child running and they fall, they look forward, which isn't bad. But of course, when an elder falls, an elder will fall and look backwards so that they won't fall again. And so children hear these parables and they come to understand our elders know more than we do. They've experienced more than we've experienced. We should listen to them and learn to become wise from them also. So that's a good part of the traditional society. A little worse part of the traditional society is that people believe, much like they did in the ancient Old Testament time, that there are spirits everywhere. The sun may be a spirit, the moon may be a spirit, trees may have spirits. Rivers have spirits, and so these spirits control our lives. Although if you get to know the right people, you can find ways to control those spirits too and then control other people's lives. Nigeria has 537 different languages, and I suspect much of it is because of this spirit idea. People lived in small communities, and they knew that spirits were controlling their communities. They had that idea. But of course, the spirits had a limited reach. And so if you travel, you know, the spirit may not be able to reach you there or help you there. And if you go to somebody else's land, you know, they have their own spirits there too, and you're not certain if those spirits or those people are friendly. So people stayed in their isolated groups and spoke their own languages. So of course we're living in a context and trying to understand how people think. You know, we talk about cause and effect. If rain falls, maybe there was an air system, or if there's a big storm, those things happen certain times of year, or if it's cold like this morning. Anyway, we've had a beautiful fall. It's about time for cold weather. Well, where we live, people often interpret things in a spiritual way. If there's a big storm, why is there a storm today and not yesterday? Maybe the spirits are trying to tell us something. Maybe a big tree falls down. The spirits are trying to tell us something. Maybe somebody is sick. They wonder, am I spiritually okay? Is somebody trying to do something to me? So in that context, then you'll wonder, what is sin? You know, I know that I misbehave sometimes, but other people misbehave too, right? So I can't be too bad. And if that is the case, then who is responsible for things? Well, another good question. People would agree that there's the idea of a devil, but they'd say, well, the devil sometimes just causes people to do things. They don't consent to it, and they don't really know what happened. The devil just sort of causes these things. Well, in that type of a context, then, what is the meaning of grace? And even if you understand what grace is, why do I need it? How can grace be helpful to me? Those are some of the reasons why we begin to work with translation teams and try to have God's word in God's language. So a lot of times we sit down with different translation teams and discuss with them and work on a writing system. These days we like to have writing systems, one letter, one sound. Makes it easier to read than English. The next picture has a picture of one of the Gade translators. The Gade language, they wanted to start at the beginning, which makes sense, and so we're going through Genesis. And you know, Genesis chapter 1, we hear how God created the world, which makes sense to us. God created the world and continues to sustain it and provides all that we need for this body and life. But you know, the time when the Old Testament was written, people believed that the sun was a god, the moon was a god, the stars were minor gods, the rivers were gods. So in Genesis we read, the sun isn't a god, the true God created the sun. The moon and the stars and the rivers and oceans aren't gods and so forth. God created those places. God controls them. God tells the sun when to shine and when not to shine. That's a powerful message if you believe that those things are spirit, and we pray that that will continue to make sense to God's people around the world. The next picture has a picture of the Gokana translation team. They have their New Testament, and so we're working with them on the Old Testament. We hope in the next few months to be able to publish the Book of Psalms in that world, in that language. The next one is the Bekwara translation team. So what are we checking for as we're sitting down with teams? Much of it is accuracy. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, we hear that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So people in Nigeria often fast, although they do it a little bit differently, often fast during the daytime. And then, of course, once the sun goes down, you can have a feast. And so when they heard this, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, they said, are you sure? But how much did he eat during those 40 days? Maybe he fasted during the day and not during the night. Said, well, let's take a good look at this. It looks like he actually fasted all the time. Or in James chapter 5, we hear how Elijah was a righteous man and he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. So they said, yes, there was very little rainfall during those 3.5 years. Said, well, let's think about this. We know we experienced times of little rainfall, but here it says it didn't rain at all during those 3.5 years. There was no rain at all. And so, of course, then you come to other ideas. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. So does that mean everybody? Well, it says for the whole world. Yes, that means everybody. And Jesus' death was a once and for all sacrifice. That is, we confess our sins, but we don't need to sacrifice something again. Our people understand sacrifices. They can sacrifice things to their traditional spirits. Our Lord Jesus Christ, his death was a once and for all sacrifice to take away our sins completely forever. One of the groups we work with in helping to translate languages is a Nigerian organization, the Nigeria Bible Translation Trust. And while that sign is new, the buildings have been there for 40 years. Our Lutheran Women's Missionary League built those buildings in the early 1970s to help God's word reach more people in our land. So of course we teach different groups there. There's a picture of a class. And there you can see, in the next one you can see Karen with the translator of the Equerry New Testament, which was dedicated about 3 years ago, so that God's people who speak Equerry now can read for themselves and sit down and consider the wonders of God in their own language. In our Alema speaking area, the first language we worked in that now has the Alema Lutheran hymn book, so they too can sing God's praises in their own language. The school system in Nigeria is a little different than it is here. Sometimes teachers don't get paid, and the teachers found out that if they continue teaching, they'll never get paid. So they go on strike for a while, and sometimes school can be out for 6 months, and that's during the school year. And so unfortunately, some of the students don't learn as much as we would like them to. So as a result now, we're trying to make God's Word available in audio forms, in CDs and small microchips people can use in cell phones. For the last 10 years, we've had cell phones and other things. In Nigeria, people don't like to do things alone. People wouldn't sit down alone and listen alone, so they'll come together in listening groups. We also have a film that has the Gospel of Luke is sort of their actors, and then we can put voice over in our various Nigerian languages so people can come together and see and hear the story of Jesus. Again, people like to do things in groups, and so coming together and provides an opportunity for discussing this in various groups. These days, we're also working with more closely with Lutheran Church of Nigeria pastors. A slide or two later, we see Reverend Linus Otroni and Reverend Kirian Ekpan. You know, Karen and I aren't getting any younger these days, and so we're working to train others so they can participate. The next one you see Reverend Kirian working with a group of translators, and the next one you see Reverend Linus teaching a group of translators. And the next one, Reverend Linus is working with the Agatu translation team. April 14th, 2012, we were sitting Saturday morning about 8 in the morning, we're in the house, and Nigeria is a crowded place. It has about half the population of the U.S. Living in this area the size of Texas and Oklahoma. So there's always something going on, and it's hot. So you always have windows open, and people live a lot of their lives outside. But there was a little more noise than normal. And so we're living in a city now, and so we ran out to the road, and so did everybody else. And some boys were playing soccer, and they said, "See that box over there? There's something like a hand in that box." And we said, no, you can't have something like a hand in a box. Now that's a box. They said, no, there's something like a hand in that box. So some of the guys went over and opened the box, and sure enough, there was a hand and a little more than a hand. And the next picture you can see, back just a hair, I think. My mistake. Of course, Karen spent some time teaching students. That's her Sunday school group, and the next group she's teaching some, she has a girls group she works with, and they like to dress up in white uniforms and go to different places and have Bible class and so forth. Karen also works with the choir too. But then on April 14th, 2012, we found what was in the box was a hand, and the rest of this little guy was attached to the hand. Premature, newly born baby. You know, I was there when our children were born, but of course you're busy talking to your wife, and in a couple minutes a nurse brings you a nice clean baby dressed in a blanket and said, "Look at your child." This is the first time I'd seen one that had been freshly born before the bath. Anyway, here he is after his bath, a premature baby with some birth defects also, who was abandoned. So of course they told Karen the first thing, thought, well, this is the type of thing to report to the police, and so it was Nigeria, so better for some of the Nigerian guys to take the child to the police. So they did, and the police said, "Thank you very much for reporting. That's the correct thing. Of course, this is a police station. You know, we don't take care of babies here, but thank you for reporting anyway." So they brought the baby back home, and people were discussing, what are we going to do with this child? And different families, of course, were busy and so forth. In the course of discussion, Karen says, I can take care of this child." I said, "Wait a minute, we haven't had one of these guys in the house for 30 years. Remember they wake up in the middle of the night?" Karen says, "Don't worry, I think I can handle it." So of course, the first thing was to keep the baby warm. That's not a football Karen's holding there, that's the little guy there. And then we took him to the hospital. And of course, once you go to the hospital, the first thing they say, what is the child's name? Something we hadn't thought of, you know. Karen says, Stephen. His name is Stephen. So Stephen and Karen stayed in the hospital there for about 3 weeks and basically did what they could do for him. Of course, had to feed him through one of these little deals, syringe. It couldn't quite suck and so forth. And then brought him home and had him baptized in our Lutheran Church of Nigeria. And Stephen stayed for another week, another month and a week, and eventually he passed away. The birth defects were a little too much. And so he was buried. But then not long after that, they brought in another four-day-old boy. The boy, the father had died several months before he was born, and the mother unfortunately died in childbirth. And they brought this boy and asked Karen, what do you think? And Karen, of course, was experiencing the empty nest syndrome again and said, yeah, I'd be happy to take care of this guy. So this is John David. Of course, she had him, the girls helping with him. Very soon took him to church and was baptized and growing up to be a nice, healthy boy. Of course, also Karen Rose is around from time to time, and so she liked to have him on her back. And then, of course, Nigerian people, if you're going for a ways to carry this in your hand, doesn't make sense. They prefer to carry like this. And so John David is also learning how to do that. And he very recently, on the next page, had his, of course, he's helping out around the house also. Then he's learning how to carry things on his head. And very recently, he had his second birthday. The country of Nigeria has been in the news a little bit these days. In the southwest, just like somebody flew into Dallas, somebody flew into Nigeria with Ebola about 3-4 months ago. Fortunately, the hospital he went to found out very quickly what was going on, and 50 people from the CDC came over, and our government was very cooperative. They said, look, we've got army soldiers sitting in barracks doing nothing. If you need them to help do anything, they're around. So they helped to isolate people, and Nigeria has now been declared Ebola-free. And don't worry, Karen and I have been back for a couple of months, and we're feeling fine. In the northeast part of the country, there's a group that would like to see Nigeria become an Islamic state. The rest of the country seems to disagree with that, and so far they've been limited to that far northeast part of the country. Unfortunately, that is, there were some schoolgirls who were kidnapped sometime, and there are still about 200 of them missing. It has been 6 months now there from that part of the country. Karen and I live in the center of the country in Plateau State, and a lot of our work is in Cross River State, a little bit closer to the ocean. Our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had missionaries in Nigeria in 1936. So a couple years ago, we celebrated the Lutheran Church of Nigeria's 75th anniversary. Here you can see some of the pastors marching into the big hall for the celebration. All of this, of course, is so that there's an opportunity for people from every land and language and tribe and nation to be able to join together and cry out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We thank you for your prayers and concern and support to indeed see that God reaches people from every area and every land. And we can pray that God will help us to join the All Saints Day and people who are worshiping in heaven together. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.